630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, hope your weekend's off to a great start. The Simone Lawrence interception return for a touchdown. The difference to this point, a minute into the fourth quarter, Hamilton leading Calgary 17-10. Kicking off in about 40 minutes, it is Toronto at Saskatchewan. Elks home to the Bombers tomorrow. Countdown to kickoff is at 6 here on 630 CHED. The game starts at 7:45. Baseball tonight, well, these results are not going the Blue Jays' way to this point. Bottom of the sixth, the Jays trail the Twins 7-3. In the fifth, Boston is up 4-1 on the Orioles. And in the seventh, the Yankees lead Cleveland 2-0. So the Jays could fall a game behind Boston and then be leapfrog. I don't know what the past tense is by the Yankees if those results hold, but we'll see how it plays out. Oilers rookie game, 5 o'clock tomorrow against the Calgary Flames at Rogers Place. Remember, no fans for that one. Then they're going to Calgary to play the Flames rookies again on Monday. One of the guys I've been keeping an eye on, and I want to see him in the game tomorrow, defenseman Dmitry Samarukov. He did have that shoulder injury last season playing in the KHL, but, you know, a third-round pick of the Oilers in 2017, a pretty important prospect. Rookies head coach Jay Woodcroft on Samarukov.
Has put a lot of work in to his personal corporation, I would call it, investing in himself. And first of all, it started with recovering from his injury, which he's fully recovered. But he's not only put the therapy work in and the strength work in, but he's also dedicated himself and is growing into his frame. He's maturing into his frame. He's in year three of his professional development. His skating looks good. His composure looks good. I'm excited to watch him play in these rookie camp games so that he can build some confidence heading into main camp and with competing against every player in our organization for ice time. So, you know, it's a credit to the work that he put in. Dima is a very likable young man. He, like I said, when he came to Edmonton and committed to a summer of investing in his personal corporation, I think it's paying off.
All right, a little bit there from Jay Woodcroft on Dmitry Samarukov as we welcome to the show the host of the excellent program, noon to two every weekday here on 630 CHED. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. It is indeed Bob Stauffer. Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, Reed. How are you?
Good, good. Are you checking in from the U of A game tonight, or what's going on?
I can neither confirm nor deny where I am tonight, Reed. That's all you need to know.
Oh, my goodness. A mysterious start to the interview. Well, okay.
Let's talk about Dmitry Samarukov. I mean, it's one of those storylines, and you've certainly seen it because you've been out there for rookie camp the last couple of days. I mean, Broberg, I know he's listed at 6'3", but he's 6'4" plus. Samarukov is 6'3", 220 pounds. He looks like a 25-year-old version of a guy like Douglas Murray, who got up to 6'3", 245 towards the end of his career. But he's got better feet, but a big, big body, strong on pucks. Niemelainen, 6'5". Then on the right side, you're sitting there looking at Kemp at 6'3". Berglund coming over from Sweden, a little bit older, D-man at 6'3". And then Kesselin at 6'5". And, I think we both think that, Broberg's a lock. He'll play in the NHL. There's no question about that. It's just a question of how high. I think Samarukov has a strong possibility to, maybe be a bit like Eric Cernak is for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then they need to hit on one of those other guys. And, you think of Tampa Bay's defense last year, Reed, Hedman 6'6", Sergachev 6'3", and 225 pounds. Real good defenseman that could skate. And obviously Hedman's maybe the best defenseman in the league. And then McDonough and Cernak, and that top four. And that's the way of the future. You don't have to have a bunch of hammers, but you have to have a bunch of long angular guys that can force pucks and force plays into the corners. And the Oilers have that building. So this whole situation here is going to be really exciting to watch the progression, maturation, and growth of the Oilers' young defense prospects.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up some of the heights there, Bob, because of the guys in camp, there's only one defenseman listed at shorter than 6'2". So, and that's Yanni Caldas, who's an invite, who's from Quebec, played a little bit with Bakersfield last season. So, and I think you touched on it, and I think that's worth noting. the size, and you said maybe you don't be a hammer anymore. We know that the nature of body checking has changed a little bit in the NHL because you got to be careful with open ice hits and headshots. But having that reach, and we've even seen, and look, Connor McDavid is tough to defend, but at times teams who have had good games or a couple of games against McDavid have often had those long reaching defensemen that have been able to force Connor out wide and make him take an extra step or two until he can get to the net. So hopefully that's what the Oilers are building, you know, those guys that can push the play to the boards.
Well, I mean, you look at the situation with the NHL D that's there right now. So Darnell Nurse has just signed a long-term deal. He's got a year left before he gets that deal. There's a 6'4" number one defenseman, and he is a number one defenseman. He's probably going to be on the Canadian Olympic team. You know, he was second in the league last year in goals, number one in even strength goals last season for defense. I don't know if he matches that again, but he's going to play 25 minutes a game. And then Bouchard, unsolicited, you've heard Dave Tippett and Jim Playfair talk about him this year, about how they think he's going to push the envelope to push for more ice time as the season goes on. So those are two Oilers drafted and developed prospects. CC signed here for 4 years, and that's why I mentioned they need one of the right shot guys to pan out. They got Barry for 3 years. So, you know, I could foresee Barry, CC, and Bouchard being the defense for the next 3 seasons. But in a couple of years from now, they need a Kesserling or a Kemp. Or a Berglund, who maybe we don't have as much information on, or even Desharnais, who's a 6'6" right shot that's on an AHL deal. Does he get an NHL deal after this season? They need one of those guys to be most likely in the three hole in a couple of years' time. So this is going to be really intriguing for me to watch. I think Oilers fans should be excited about what they have on defense. I think there's great question marks in goal at the NHL and the American League level. Stuart Skinner did a pretty good job last year. Just where's that push going to come from in goal? And they're a little light at forward, but certainly on defense, Reid, I think they're in pretty good shape.
All right, Bob Stauffer joining us then at Inside Sports. One of the most asked questions, at least that I get, what is going on with Kyler Yamamoto? I had a listener write in the other night and said, Reid, what is he waiting for? They're up against the cap. There's not a lot of leverage. What are they negotiating here? Ken Holland was on with me, I guess, the Tuesday after Labor Day. Didn't have much of an update. Just said they're talking a little bit. Are you hearing anything, or can you help answer that? What's the hang-up here?
I fully expect Kyler Yamamoto will be here for the start of training camp on Wednesday. And the fact that it's gone this long leads me to believe that it's probably going to be a one and not a two-year deal. And so a two-year deal, to me, the range was about $1.5, $1.6 million. A one-year deal, to me, is $1.5 to maybe $1.3 million on a one-year deal. So it would not surprise me if it ends up being a one-year deal. And if that's the case, Yamamoto's betting on himself. But I would be stunned, given all that has transpired between CAA, who were in dialogue on the Adam Larson front, in dialogue on the Tyson Barry front, and the Cody CC front, all that has occurred between that agency this summer and the Oilers, I would be stunned if there was a delay in Yamamoto. It would not surprise me if maybe something occurred over the course of the weekend, Reid. Because that gives enough head. I think they got to get immigration taken care of because Yamamoto's American. He needs to have a contract. So just logic at this case and state, to me, sort of infers that we might more likely be looking at a one-year than a two-year deal, and I do think it's going to get done.
All right.
I guess what I'm saying to you is I'm pretty optimistic.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't see him missing camp.
He's got no arm rights, Reid.
Well, yeah, like it's just odd it's taken this long. It's just odd to me it's taken this long. And I think to some fans as well.
I think that's a completely fair perspective, but because it's taken this long, it's got nowhere to go because he doesn't have arm rights and he doesn't have a compelling case. He scored 4 goals in the last 41 games. So Puljujärvi got 1.2 times 2 years. Yamamoto, you know, he had 26 points in 27 games a year ago, but this past season, again, scored only 1 goal in his final 21 games and 4 in his final 41. And remember, he was playing most of those with the second highest scoring player in the National Hockey League, albeit he didn't see a lot of power play time. So, you know, the Oilers are going to incorporate a top nine. I would almost say it's a lock that Yamamoto will be here for the start of training camp. I can't see his agency has called in some favors with the Oilers too, right? His agency is, you know, I just can't see them not having, because believe me, it's been communicated. You know what happened with Ethan Barra last year. he got off on the wrong foot and never really got right at all year long. And I just can't see that agency, which is a different agency than the one representing Bear. That's a template that they don't want to follow.
All right, Bob, before I let you go, we're going to do it again from time to time. I know it's one of the many things that bring you joy in this world. It is the world-famous quiz for Stauffer.
So,
two topics tonight, and you can pick which one you want to do first. One is going to be exceptional Oilers rookies, and the other topic is, because we had him on the show in the last half hour, and I know he is your favorite game manager of all time, and we'll discuss that term maybe on another show. The other topic is Ricky Ray. Which one do you want first?
Well, Ricky Ray treated me like absolute gold during my days of Total Sports. So, and he was, if he's a game manager, he was the best game manager in the last 20 years in the Canadian Football League. So let's go Ricky Ray.
All right. Ricky Ray did get a very brief look in an NFL training camp back in 2001. With what NFC team did he attend training
camp? In 2001. So not in 2004 when he went to the Jets.
No, not the Jets. This was before he came to the CFL.
I'm going to say it was the San Francisco 49ers.
It absolutely was the San Francisco 49ers. He only dressed
All right, I'm one for one, and I'm not in front of a computer, just so you know.
No, and that's when they started calling him Frito-Rey because, of course, he was doing the chip delivery when he got called up. And then he went to the Arena Football League. Exceptional Oilers rookie season. So, how many goals did Jason Arnott score in 93-94?
I will say 33.
It was exactly 33, Bob. You're two for two. He added 35 assists for 68 points. But I believe I think that was the year Brodeur got the Calder, wasn't it?
Sure. And I remember when he got drafted, Gratton went third and Arnott went seventh. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, Chris Gratton dominated Jason Arnott in the OHL playoffs. And as it turned out, if you take a look at the numbers between Chris Gratton and Jason Arnott, I think you can make a strong argument that Arnott had a better career. Gratton probably fought a bit too much, which was a byproduct of that era. Like, he was not afraid to square off with some of the big... Arnott fought too once in a while, but Arnott, if you just looked at the numbers between those two guys, if you quickly went on HockeyDB, I can't do it because I'm on my phone and I can't tell you where
Arnott,
I'm at right now.
Arnott, 938 points in 1,244 games, and Gratton... nowhere near that point per game pace, 568 in 1,092. So Arnott's about 0.75, Gratton's about 0.5.
Yeah. And you know what, Jason, I was on the periphery. I certainly wasn't as close to it as Morley back then, but I would see Jason occasionally in town. He was a pretty good guy and had a great career.
Bob, wherever you are, I hope it's a great evening. I'll see you at the rink tomorrow, man. I really appreciate this.
Hey, Reed, 1-1, Alberta and Mount Royal, 8 minutes left, dawn in the first period.
How would he possibly know that?
All I'm going to tell you is I'm not in the building.
Okay.
So I may be watching online, but I'm not physically in the building. Okay?
Okay.
Take care, Reed.
Good stuff. That's Bob Stauffer. He can. There's more ways to watch the sport than just actually being there. Always fun to have Bob on the show. He's two for two in the quiz for Stauffer. One of you guys out there can keep the stats and update me every few weeks. Of course, if you would like to, the hotline is powered by CertainTeed Professional Grade Building Materials, 780-496-0063. You can email me, insidesports@630ched.com. Follow me on Twitter, @ReedWilkins, ReedWilkins. Okay, we're going to do Name the Animal tonight, because why not? And we got a great family story from Castrol Raceway. More on the Oilers, Rookies, and the Elks. It's Inside Sports on Ched. Looks like the Hamilton Tiger Cats will do the Edmonton Elks and the rest of the West Division a favor tonight. Late in the fourth quarter, Hamilton leading Calgary 20-10. We'll have the final in that one in probably 15 minutes or so, maybe a little less. And at 7:45, Toronto and Saskatchewan kick off, both those teams coming in at 3-2. The AJHL regular season is underway tonight, including the Crusaders and the Saints playing at Grandview Arena in Spruce Grove, and about halfway through the first period there, It is a scoreless game between the two Edmonton area teams. All right, good to have Bob Stauffer on the program. You heard from Ricky Ray a little bit earlier on, Eddie Steele as well, as we set up the storylines for this weekend, the Oilers rookie game tomorrow, the Elks game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which is, as Elks president and CEO Chris Preston tells you, Armed Forces Appreciation Night.
And we'll have a double flyover. The first flyover will be just after the anthem. The second flyover will be just before kickoff. And on the second flyover, they're actually going to do a burnout, which they typically don't do. And that's where you see the engine that looks like it's on fire from behind, and they almost take a straight path upward within the sky. So a lot going on. Happy hour specials, as always. Kids 12 and under still receive free pop and popcorn. So many things to do.
All right, well, that'll be a fun flyover tomorrow at Commonwealth Stadium. Taylor Cornelius, the quarterback, head coach Jamie Elizondo says, hey, this kid has a high ceiling.
Taylor, we brought up here originally to not only win the backup job, but we felt he was good enough to be the eventual replacement for Trevor Harris. So we're really excited about him. There's no leash. He's got to go play without, you know, the need to be perfect and just let it hang.
All right, there we go. Let it hang. We'll leave that where it is. Oilers rookie game. Don't know how the goaltenders are going to look, but the goalies in camp are Ethan Kruger, Olivier Rodrigue, and Ilya Konovalov. Now, his numbers in the KHL, you know, they tend to be pretty inflated for goalies. He had a .923 save percentage for Yaroslavl last season. Jay Woodcroft on Konovalov.
It's interesting because I bumped into him over the last couple days. Today was his first full team practice with our group. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked composed. He has a professionalism about him. He's a strong athlete. But I saw a calmness and a composure out on the ice today. And not sure which game he'll take the reins in, but I'm excited to see him play when he does.
All right, we got a break for the news and weather. Oh, we're going to do it. We're going to name the animal in the next half hour. Plus, a great story from Castrol Raceway. .220 left in the fourth quarter. Hamilton leading Calgary 23-10. Jake Mayer going into the game here at the end, replacing Bo Levi Mitchell. The Stamps have not looked good tonight, as I've been watching this one with one eye while hosting the show. Toronto and Saskatchewan will kick off in about 11 or 12 minutes. Baseball tonight, Blue Jays trailing the Twins 7-3 in the eighth. The Yankees now up 6-0 on Cleveland. And Boston leading Baltimore 4-1. That's in the bottom of the sixth. So not good results there for the Jays in the wild card chase, but still obviously a couple of weeks left in the regular season. Tomorrow, Elks and Blue Bombers. It's at 7:45. It's at 6 o'clock for the countdown to kickoff here on 6:30. Jed, Don texting in. He says, who will be the backup quarterback tomorrow? That is going to be a gentleman by the name of Dakota Prukop, who is 27 years of age. He's going to turn 28 in a month. He played at Oregon and Montana State in the NCAA. He joined the Argos in 2017. He was with Calgary for the non-existent 2020 season. He did go to training camp with them this year. They released him on July 29th. The Elks picked him up on July 30th. He has thrown, what is he at here? I'm checking his stats. He's thrown 21 CFL passes. And he has 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions for and 166 yards, 14 for 21. So that is the backup tomorrow. I was talking with Eddie Steele and Ricky Ray about players starting the season not on the roster or not playing a lot and then making a splash. We touched on Darrell Walker in 2015. Wayne writes in, yeah, Brandon Zylstra in 2016 was incredible. I just double-checked how many games he played in 2016. Only played the last 6 games of the season and had 508 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns in 6 games. So yeah, he burst onto the scenes because we had those were back-to-back years. They had Walker and then Zylstra, and when they started playing, we were all sitting here saying, why weren't these guys on the team all the way along? Maybe Duke Williams, another guy that the Elks had. I think he came on. I don't think he started the season. He had some big games as well for the green and gold, but not quite the impact that Zylstra and Jarrell Walker had. Okay. So a little bit there. Rob from Capilano also informing us that Sunday is International Talk Like a Pirate Day. All right. I'm just going to leave that there, Rob. Thanks for the notification. I do enough stupid voices. I'm not going to attempt a pirate voice tonight. Well, maybe later. Okay. We got a pretty cool father and son duo coming up from the sprint car circuit in a few minutes here. We're going to do now our world famous segment. It is ever popular. It is the guiding light in my life, and I think Kellen Kennedy's as well. It is our segment called Name the Animal. Now, there's still some confusion over how this works, and I'm working on a manual that will explain it step by step. But here's, I've just tried to follow along. You know, like you got to concentrate. Don't just stare at your phone while you're doing this. You got to focus. So Kellen, at some point today, went to the 630 Chet Animal Sanctuary. And he either recorded the sound of an animal, or if it's a friendly animal and not too big, he brings it back to the 630 Chet control room. And he is going to either play that recorded sound of the animal or sort of prompt the animal right now to make the sound live. And then I have to guess what animal it is making that noise. And we do this every week or two. It is not a contest. I mean, you can participate on social media or texting or calling if you want, but if you help me, you can't win anything, just my admiration and respect, which should be more valuable than an actual monetary prize or tickets or something like that, I would think. We'll try to get you some canned ham, but we're kind of low on canned hams right now. All right, Kellen, it is Name the Animal, and at your leisure, give me the sound.
Yar, here we go.
It's a dragonfly.
No.
Is it an insect?
It is not an insect, no.
Oh, my God. I don't think you've had an insect yet. Wow, that is something. Very repetitive. It almost sounds like a little electronic toy or something like that. It actually sounds like a weed whacker. It's not a weed whacker. It is some form of an animal. Mike, can you play it again? This is something. I don't know. Is it a happy donkey?
It's not a happy donkey. No.
Okay. Is it a sea creature?
Kind of, sort of. It's an amphibian.
It's an amphibian. Okay. So I got to look up amphibium now. We had a reptile about. So it could be like a frog.
Yes. Some sort of a frog. There you go. No,
it is a frog.
It is a frog. Yes.
Okay. How specific do we have to get for the type of the frog?
I'll give you the win on this for just picking out the animal. But if you want to try and be more specific, I'll play it again here for you. But it's a very common frog.
Somebody wrote in bullfrog.
That's it. Exactly.
It is a bullfrog. Somebody on the text line knew that right away. Congratulations to you, anonymous texter.
See, there's a little ribbit right there.
Yeah, sure. I'll take your word for it. Okay, so that is that is the sound of a bullfrog. That's an interesting noise. So what's he doing in the video? It sounds like he's very relaxed. Is he getting a massage?
Yeah, he's just sitting in the swamp somewhere, or
just in a bog.
In a bog, and is probably annoyed at the bright white light shining on top of him, so that people can shoot this is a pre-recorded piece here, because the frog had other commitments tonight, probably out catching flies somewhere.
the frog had prom or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So
somebody texted in bullfrog right away. So if that's you have
you
my
win.
Respect and admiration. You have won that. We had somebody guess if it was a moose. A bird. See, there are a lot of bird noises, and I think you played a couple. I often have guessed some sort of a bird in as we've done Name the Animal. That's fascinating. Calgary gets a late touchdown here. It's 23-16. I think we're into the final 30 seconds, so they'll need a convert and a short kickoff and then a miracle or two along the way. So that is the bullfrog, generally found in Eastern North America. I'm just getting this off Wikipedia, which is completely accurate. And well, we do have them in the West as well. I think more in the United States. How big are they? I mean, they got to be the size of a bull. Oh, there's a lot on here. Okay. Well, we'll research bullfrogs a little bit later on, and maybe we'll do an entire show on them. Why not? Somebody says that you're watching too much Duck Dynasty. LOL. I've never watched that show. Do they have bullfrogs on that show?
Probably. It's in the South, and it's in the East, so.
Okay. All right. Well, that was Name the Animal. It always brightens my evening. We are we got a really cool story coming up here from the Sprint Car Circuit next on Inside Sports. It's a final in the hammer. The Tiger Cats beat the Calgary Stampeders 23-17. Hamilton now 3-3 on the season. Calgary drops to 2-5 on the year. Elks and Bombers tomorrow at Commonwealth, 7:45 kickoff. Our countdown to kickoff program on 6:30 Ched will commence at 6 p.m. Looking forward to that. Tomorrow, 5 p.m. at Rogers Place. No fans for this one, of course. Oilers rookies and Flames rookies at Castrol Raceway tomorrow. We got the 2021 Challenge Cup featuring some of the top sprint car drivers, including these two gentlemen involved. They got a great story. We got Wade Fleming on the line. Wade, you're on with Reed. How are you doing?
I'm good, Reed. Thanks. How are you?
Doing very well. And Declan Fleming is there as well. Hey, Declan, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for hopping on, guys. Before we get into what's happening tomorrow, you guys are father and son. You guys got a great story. The family has a great story. Wade, can you kind of just take us through the nuts and bolts of your family's racing roots here?
Well, I guess my racing roots started back in, my dad, 1968 and at Westwood Oval, and then we moved from there to Speedway in 1978. And we raced there till 81. And then after Speedway was closed down, we started traveling around Alberta and racing until about 84. And then we moved into Calmar Raceway, and we stayed there for about 7 more years. And one of those things we did as a family, always as a family. And then in 1991, we moved to Castrol Raceway. And I've been there for, I raced there till 2010. Then I quit for a few years. And kind of one day we were sitting at the dinner table and my wife said to the kids, "Hey, what do you think about Dad starting to race again?" And I was like, "Holy cow, wow, that's a lot." And so the kids started helping out. They were getting to that age where they were getting good enough to work on stuff. So I raced that next year. And then the year after that, Declan went out and bought his own car.
Okay, now Declan, do you remember that that dinner table conversation? Like, what was your interest level of getting involved? But before that came up, was it something you kind of always wanted to do, and were hoping Dad would draw you into?
Yeah, no, I always wanted to race against my dad when I was growing up. That was one of my dreams. But I remember that dinner table, and just the excitement in everybody's face was pretty crazy to see.
Yeah. Now, Wade, for you, when you were coming up and doing stuff with your dad, was this right from a little guy? You're learning how the cars work, and then when did you eventually start racing them? At what age?
I started racing when I was about 14. So, but I'd always been around racing. But you weren't allowed to go in the pits then when you were a little kid. So when I was 14, I kind of started to rebuild my own car, his car, one day. And I took it all apart, but couldn't figure out how to put it back together. So they loaded that up, and it went to a shop, and they fixed it that year. But I started hot lapping it that summer. And I wasn't allowed to start racing until I had over 100 hot laps under me. And, after that, I got to race the next year.
All right. And what about for you, Declan? How did you originally get involved, and then what was your first few times behind the wheel like?
Well, when I was about, 10 or 12 years old, we started racing mini sprints, little smaller versions of the cars we drive today. But I used to race those with both my brothers. They each had a car, and so that was a lot of fun. That was probably the first time I was ever in a car. And then I think it was a Castrol or Great Falls one time, my dad just let me pack the tractor with it or something like that. Oh, it was at Castrol Raceway. Yeah, that's right. And then, he let me take it out for a couple hot laps after a race one time, and I was pretty much hooked after that.
Okay. Now, Wade, I'll start with you here. Did you ever race against your father, like in an actual official race? And if so, what was that like?
I did do that. I raced at Kalmar probably for about 3 years. And I was pretty green. I just remember him always giving me a lot of trouble over the amount of cars I wrecked, which was a lot.
And Larry, that was your dad?
Yeah, Larry was my dad. Before he passed, he looked after the Cougar Boxing Club when he retired from racing.
Okay, and Declan, what about for you? Have you raced against your dad, and what is that experience like?
Well, it was really just something I had wanted to do for so long, but just like he said, I was pretty green when we started, so I just remember he took off and I stayed near the back, but every time he went past me, it was a pretty good feeling.
Okay, well...
Yeah, the feeling's the same.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so tell me what's going on tomorrow. Are both you guys on the track tomorrow, or just Declan? What's happening tomorrow at Castrol?
Just me tomorrow night. Yeah.
So, okay, and Wade, what's happening tomorrow?
It's a Challenge Cup. About a month and a half ago, I was thinking that because these guys have been racing out there for nothing all year, and I wanted to do something for the end of the season, so I decided to make some phone calls and some friends of mine who own businesses around Edmonton, you know, like Canadian Wheel and Trail Tire. And you know, even Ron Hodson and AMS, these guys all pitched in some money and helped us out to get this race going.
And for the sprint cars that people are going to see tomorrow night, what speeds are we looking at here, guys? Whoever wants to jump in.
So the difference between the two cars, like I have an open class, which is a 360, which is about 750 horsepower. They get up to about 130 miles an hour on the front straight or back straightaway. This class here is about 600 to 650 horsepower. Same cars, but they'll get up to probably about 115, 120 miles an hour. And then they got to turn left.
Right.
With 20 cars.
Right. Yeah, it's a busy track. Have you guys ever had a scary wreck or anything like that, either of you guys?
Yeah, I had one. I think it was last weekend or 2 weekends ago. Yeah, I went through a pretty good tumble.
And how are you?
Doing pretty well.
And how's the vehicle?
We welded it all up that night, and we're out for the next night after.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys, this is a great family story. Oh, and Wade, so if people want to go, I know there was the announcement earlier this week. Just remind people of any rules they might need to follow and when it starts. And I'm looking at the website right now. People can get more on CastrolRaceway.com. But just let everybody know some of the details about tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's put on by All West Power Sports and Castrol Raceway in a way. The social distancing. You know, I don't believe you have to show any passes to get in. They haven't given Eddie any rules on that yet. But we start at 5, so we're going to have time-ins at 5, and it's all sprint cars and maybe one small fill-in class, and it's going to be, you know, wings down and hammer down, and let's go.
Right on. Well, thanks for telling your story, guys. I hope it's an absolute blast tomorrow night. I know you're busy getting ready, so thanks for spending a few minutes here on Inside Sports. Wade Fleming, Declan Fleming, incredible story, great family story. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, Reed.
Right on, guys. Okay, couple sprint car guys. Well, Declan's running tomorrow. Wade, long time involvement in it as well. That is really cool. That is really cool. And family involved going back to Larry Fleming, and the tradition continues now with Declan. That is some good stuff. That's at Castrol tomorrow night. Kellen, you've been out to Castrol a few times this year, but are you more into the drag racing?
Yeah, that's right. But it's all on one handy facility there, so it depends on basically which direction you walk from the parking lot. to which track you're going to. So
the sprint tomorrow, they're actually on an oval.
Right? Yes, it's a dirt oval. It's a lot of fun. I've been out to the sprint car races in the past and that stuff, and it's fairly quick. It's a lot of action happening in literal tenths of a second to hundreds of a second of each other. Type competition and that stuff, and right,
but the races take a little while. Races you watch, what are those, like 4 seconds? Not even.
The drag races typically here could go between 10 to as quick as 4 seconds with the top fuel cars. Yeah, exactly, in a quarter mile. So
all right, well, we wish those guys all the best. Toronto and Saskatchewan just underway. The Argos are wearing uniforms that make it look like they have dark blue shorts on with light blue leotards underneath. They're two-tone pants. They're dark blue to about the top of the knee, and then they're light blue from there down. I don't know if I've seen these before this year. Hamilton won over Calgary 23-17. Quickly updating the baseball here. 8-0 Yankees leading Cleveland in the ninth. Blue Jays losing 7-3 in the ninth. Red Sox up 7-1 in the seventh. Okay. Fun show tonight. Thanks for checking it out. Besides Wade and Declan Fleming, you heard from Bob Stauffer, Ricky Ray, and Eddie Steele. 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6:30 Chad, countdown to kickoff. Game at 7:45. Taylor Cornelius, Derek Moncrief, and the Edmonton Elks taking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Dave Campbell's the producer of Inside Sports. Kellen Kennedy is your studio operator. Cheddar is our goat. We haven't heard from Cheddar for a while. I think he's doing fine, though. And we also had a random bullfrog on the show this evening as well. My name's Reed. Thanks for listening. Oh, we don't have a show Monday. I forgot to tell you. We don't have a show Monday because we're going to have extended election coverage. So 6:30 Chad has all the breaking stories from the election on Monday. So don't be freaked out when I'm not on from 6 to 8. We got a very important election that we're going to cover for you. Have a great weekend.
6:30 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chad.